Well, let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, and again, chapter 13, please, and just look at the parable of the hidden treasure, which is just one verse, 44. Matthew 13 and verse 44. These two parables, that is the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, are called a couplet of parables, and we'll see why as we move on. But just the hidden treasure, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The hidden treasure. What or who is the treasure? Well, I'm going to look now at three scriptures. I'd like you to turn to them with me regarding the special treasure that God has. So please, first of all, go back to Exodus chapter 19, if you will. Exodus chapter 19. And look at verse 5. Exodus 19 and verse 5. This is the Lord speaking. 19, verse 5, Exodus. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure. I'm reading the New King James. A special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. But you, Hebrews, Israel, you are a special treasure to me. Now move on a little bit further on into Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. And look at verse 2. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 2. The Lord again speaking to Israel. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Now if you will go into a psalm, Psalm 135. Psalm 135, and look at verse 4. Psalm 135 and verse 4. Psalm 135, verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob, or Israel, for himself, Israel, for his special treasure. Third time. Now there's one more right at the end of the Old Testament. Malachi and chapter 3. Malachi and chapter 3. Look at verse 17. I'm sure you know this verse quite well. Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord speaking. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. You have jewels there in the original Hebrew. It is, if you have it in your margin there, special treasure. Now all these incidents and occasions we read in the Old Testament refers to the nation of Israel, not the church. The church is not in the Old Testament. Exodus 19:5, Deuteronomy 14:2, Psalm 135:4, Malachi 3:17, all speak of Israel being the special treasure, a very special treasure, like his jewels. Now these particular passages we have in the Old Testament has nothing whatever to do with the church, or indeed this dispensation, actually. But they do speak of an earthly people, Israel. In Isaiah 44, verse 7, I'll read that, you needn't turn to it. Isaiah 44 and verse 7. The Lord has appointed the ancient people, meaning Israel, of course, and the things that are coming and shall come, that is, Israel is God's special treasure, where the Lord has a plan during the events that shall come for the nation of Israel when he's completed his church, his earthly elect people. Now we're God's heavenly people, if you like, in the church, but Israel is God's earthly people. We'll keep it that way simple. But never once in the 21 letters or epistles of the New Testament is the word treasure ever used for the church. You won't find it. You won't find it at all in the New Testament, apart from the one reference, of course, in Matthew as it relates to Israel. Now, if you look at that verse in Matthew 13 again, let's split the part of that one verse, 44, in parts. It says here that the treasure is hidden in the field. And the field, of course, is the world. We've had that in the rest of the parables. That's clear enough. So the treasure is hidden in the world. Israel is hidden in the world. Well, we know that's true today. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10, you can turn to it, I'll read it. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10, if you want to note it down. It says here, God found Jacob or Israel in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Deuteronomy 32:10. That's how much a special treasure is the Jewish people in the sight of the God of Israel. Israel had a very lowly beginning. One man, Abraham as he was then called out of Ur into the land that was going to be given to him as his inheritance. Just one man, out of one man, and out of Isaac and Jacob came the 12 tribes of Israel, came the nation of Israel. One man. God chose, God called, and God sent. And we have therefore this treasure hidden in the field. Now we know what happened over history, back in the Old Testament. The northern 10 tribes were taken away up into Assyria because of their idolatry. 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were taken away into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar because of their idolatry and sinful behavior. And the Lord warned them about that, what he would do, and he did. Even after AD 70, when the Romans attacked Israel, well, they were occupying it, of course, and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple, and then they killed 1,100,000 Jewish people, and they took away the rest as slaves, and they couldn't even sell a slave. Israel was almost entirely finished. There was the Bar Kokhba rebellion in 135, and that was smashed, and Israel was no more for a long time until May 1948. It was hidden in the field, scattered and peeled, says the scriptures, dispersed everywhere. As indeed we know they are. They're coming home now. So we find here that the finding of that treasure by Christ, as indeed he will do because he's their coming king, refers to all these different dispersions under Assyria, under Babylon, under Rome, scattered and peeled, dispersed throughout all the nations of the earth. We know that. And today, and indeed for the past 100 years, the Jewish people have been coming home to Israel from over 120 different nations. They're coming home, but they have been scattered among all these nations. We know that. Well, of course, Jesus gave one particular commission to his disciples in the early days of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, as it was. And in Matthew 15:24, Jesus said, I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was his initial ministry. And his ministry was confined to them initially. Of course, not later on when he was rejected, then it spread further afield. So Christ, in his humanity, as the Messiah, Son of Man, Son of David, he came to Israel, born in Bethlehem, crucified in Jerusalem, raised again in Jerusalem, ascended from the Mount of Olives near Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit came to Jerusalem. It's the center of God's purposes, as we saw in Ezekiel 5:5. Jerusalem is a center of the navel of the earth for all God's plans. That's true enough. So his ministry was initially confined to the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. But that was broken, of course, from the rejection. And then, of course, as he said, I will also bring the gospel to the Gentiles. We see that later on in Luke as well. And, of course, the Jewish people saved now are added to the pearl of great price, the true church. We'll consider that next week. So we have the treasure hidden. It's in the field, look in verse 44. The treasure is hidden in the field, which a man found. Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And he hid it again. Well, isn't that amazing? That's true. From the Old Testament times, as I say, Assyria, Babylon, and the Jewish people were dispersed very largely. And then after the Roman time, they were dispersed again. They were hidden again in the field. Accurate, isn't it? So this, of course, we know for now that link has been broken. Romans 9, 10, and 11 make it clear. And that they were broken off, but the Lord says, I can graft them back in again in Romans 11. So the treasure is hidden in the field. And we know Christ is rejected by Israel. We know that from chapter 12. That's why he spoke in parables now. Deuteronomy in chapter 32, 28 and 29. For the sake of time, I'll read this. Deuteronomy 32, 28 and 29. Israel is a nation void of counsel. Still true today. Well, there's a blindness, of course, that we Gentiles could get saved. That's quite true. Israel is a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, says the Lord, that they understand, and they will consider their latter end. Ah, latter end, yes. Jeremiah 13:31 speaks about that latter end and the new covenant, which James has been talking about. Even Haggai, the prophet, alongside Zechariah, around about 500 BC, one of the last prophets. And he spoke about the glory of the Lord coming to Jerusalem, and again the millennial temple, that will be built too. And he says this, the glory of this latter house, meaning the millennial promise of a rebuilt temple, not the Antichrist one, the glory of the latter house when the Lord is back there is the glory of the Lord and the glory of Israel as he is. It shall be greater than that of the former ones. So Israel's got a glorious future, you see. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 20, there's another very sad occasion. Their rock, he says, the rock followed them in the desert. Christ followed them in the desert, watching over his treasure. And the Lord has shut them up, too, except for those saved today. But God is working his purposes out for the nation of Israel, no doubt. So the treasure is hidden again. So think about this. What happens here? We've got in the parable, in this verse 44, what does the man do? Well, it's hidden, of course. And for the joy over it, over joy over Israel. Yes, that's a future time, planning it now, as it works on after the completion of the church. For joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Well, of course, we know that's it. Christ came to die for sinners and to save many. He's going to build a church, and then he's going to redeem a remnant of Israel. We know that. He buys the field. He managed to begin redemption through his cross, shed blood, resurrection, coming of the Holy Spirit. Redemption has come to the world. He sells all that he had. He gave himself completely, even to the death of the cross. He did all that. He did it initially for Israel. He's done it for you and I as Gentiles, without any doubt about that. So it's remarkable, isn't it? The Jewish people now are returning, and Israel is reconstituted as a nation since May the 14th, 1948. They defended themselves in many wars. They're returning now, still more than 120 nations now, on their way back. Jesus bought the field because the treasure was hidden in the field. He sold all. New Testament says that he was rich, but he became poor, that you and I who are poor may become rich, rich in salvation, rich in inheritance. How very true that is. He sold all. He gave himself at the death of the cross to bring redemption. To the Jew first, said Paul, but also to the Gentiles or the Greeks, Romans 1:16. For the moment, the Jewish people do not enter into this, not yet. They have not entered into, as a nation, the benefits of Christ's atoning work, but they will do. After this church age and dispensation is over, will then begin to work. And Jesus himself, Zechariah tells us, that they will see him whom they pierced and will mourn, repent, and they shall be saved. So it's not until the millennial kingdom that Israel will really inherit fully and know the glory of Israel, who is Christ. We look at the scriptures again in just a moment. So, of course, Israel now is not entirely hidden, but there's still many Jews, people scattered around the world. There are about 6 million in Israel at the moment, but there are many millions still scattered around the earth, we know that. And Israel will be the restored wife of Jehovah, Yahweh. We're the bride of Christ, Israel will be the restored wife of Yahweh. And the wonderful story of Hosea, we've looked at before. So the one thing is here, that one day, here Christ, the Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God, he will one day possess what he has purchased. He's purchased us by his blood. And in one sense he possesses us and we possess him. But it will be also true for the nation of Israel. He has purchased it by giving himself. And one day he will possess it. Jerusalem will be his city. We'll look at some scriptures in a moment as I come to an end. So Matthew 13 has one thing that's very clear. He's speaking about what happens between the first coming and the second coming. He does not mention the millennial kingdom because it's not relevant to this particular chapter. Redemption is clearly highlighted in this verse. For the joy over it, he goes and sells all. He committed himself to the death of the cross as a servant of his Father. And that's the way salvation comes. I'd like to look at some scriptures now to show you these things. Quite a few of them. I'll try and take them almost in the order if I can. Let's first of all go back into the Old Testament to Isaiah 62. This is all relevant to the particular psalm. Isaiah chapter 62, just a few scriptures then we'll close. Isaiah 62, I won't read all 7 verses, but they are very important verses. Isaiah chapter 62. Let's just look at the first 4 verses. Isaiah 62, 1-4. For Zion's sake, Israel, Jerusalem, I will not hold my peace And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, talking to Israel. All kings, your glory, and you shall be caused by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem crowned in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate. You shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. Hephzibah means not forsaken. Beulah means married. The Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. Married to you as a people will be wonderful, that, isn't it? Go to Ezekiel, further on past Jeremiah to Ezekiel, please. Chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Add a few more, and we'll bring it right up to date, and go to Luke 1 as well in a moment. Ezekiel chapter 28, two verses, 25 and 26. This was future blessings. Ezekiel 28, 25 and 26. Thus says the Lord God, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, and am hallowed, or seen as holy, in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then they will dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob, or Israel. And they will dwell safely there, build houses, plant vineyards. They will dwell securely when I execute judgment on those around them who despise them, judging the nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. That's clear enough, isn't it? Very plain. Go to Amos, please, after Daniel and Hosea. Go to Amos, please, if you will. Joel is Amos. Chapter 9. This is quoted in Acts. Amos 9. Future of Israel, right at the end. Chapter 9, please, of Amos, 14 and 15, last few verses. Amos's last word. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities, inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. In other words, settle down productive in the future. That never happened in the past. When they did this, it was all then destroyed by their enemies coming in to attack them. I will plant them in their land. And no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. That's plain, isn't it? Now I'd like you to go into the New Testament. This is what we looked at this morning. Luke chapter 1, please. We were there this morning and also earlier this evening. Luke chapter 1. These references. First of all, in Luke chapter 1, in verse 33, it's the announcement to Mary by the angel. Then later on we find that Mary makes her own comments, and also Zechariah in their three songs. And it's about Israel, and this is, well, they read at Christmas time, isn't it? But they neglect the truth that is related to Israel. It's neglected in the church today. Luke chapter 1 then, verses 31 to 33. Luke 1, 31 to 33. Here's the announcement by the angel to Mary. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Yes, Jew means Savior. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Where's that? Jerusalem, fulfilling the Davidic covenant. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, or Israel, forever, and his kingdom will be no end. The church misses it. Go to verse 54, statement by Mary this time, Song of Mary, the Magnificat. Verse 54 and 55, same chapter 1. He has helped his servant Israel. God called Israel to be a servant and a witness. In remembrance of his mercy, chapter 1, verses 54 and 55. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Well, it's true, we're Abraham's seed by faith, but Abraham's seed by nature, Jewish people, of course. Spoke to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs. The covenant God made with Abraham, still permanent today. Now go to chapter 1, then verse 68. This is Zechariah's, Song of Zechariah's. Chapter 1, 68. This is what, notice Father Zechariah 68, filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 68, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation, which means a strength, for us in the house of his servant David. What David? Davidic covenant, the Messiah will come. Son of David. I'll go to chapter 2. This is where we have the Song of Simeon, the Lunctimitis. Chapter 2. Look from verse 25, a few verses here. Look from verse 25 of Luke 2. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, notice. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him that by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, and he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Because he was told that he would see the Lord Christ. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles, bringing revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. He's going to be Israel's glory. Missed in the church, isn't it? Very clearly. Look in verse 38. This is Anna as well. We'll see that in a moment anyway. So you can see in verse 38, coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. That is where the salvation work was carried out, in Jerusalem. The consolation of Israel was salvation, promised, as it is so. Now I'd like, to go just back to Zechariah for a moment. We'll turn to Acts. No, let's go to Acts 3 first, while we're in the New Testament. Acts chapter 3, coming to a close. Acts chapter 3. This is Peter's second sermon, and he's preaching to the Jewish people. They're at Solomon's porch, the temple in Jerusalem, so we know this site. Acts chapter 3, let's read from verse 18 to 21. This is preaching in Solomon's porch, and he's preaching to the Jewish people. Acts 3, verse 18. Those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you, second coming, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. That is, all that God promised for the nation of Israel will be restored according to promise, which God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Yes, indeed. Let's just go back to Zechariah. And then I'm turning to Romans and then finish. Zechariah, last book, one in the Old Testament. And we go to chapter 1. Chapter 1. I know we've looked at these before when we looked at God's jealousy. Zechariah, chapter 1 and verse 17. Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, my city shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Well, that's plain enough, isn't it? Well, while we're there, go to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Look at the first three verses and then 7 and 8. Chapter 8, 1 to 3. Again the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying this, saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great zeal, with great fervor I am zealous for her. What's he going to do? Verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth. It will eventually be the mountain or kingdom of the Lord of hosts. As I said before, mountain in prophecy means a kingdom. The kingdom or mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain, the holy kingdom, the millennium. I go to verses 7 and 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people and from the land of the east, from the land of the west, that's pretty well everywhere in the world. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. That's God's promise. Well, there's enough scripture there, isn't it? Both Old and New Testament. Finally, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. You see, Israel is God's special treasure, hidden in the field. But he came, sells all that he has to buy it, over with great joy, and makes it his own. Romans chapter 11, please. Look at verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. Paul speaking about himself. I say then, has God cast away his people, meaning Israel? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. And Paul says, I'm a Jew and I'm saved. Yeah, I know I'm in the church, but I'm a Jew and I'm saved. Go down to verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, and most Christians are, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, and they are, that hardening in part has happened to Israel. The word is callous in the Greek, it means blindness. We know that's true. Hardening or blindness, in part, not total, in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles come in. That's the full number of Gentiles and some Jewish people into the church, into salvation. Then 26, and so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. There are three places, one in Jeremiah, one in Isaiah, and one in Ezekiel, I think it is, where the Lord says, I'll remove the sin of that land in one day, when they see when they appear. And a remnant will be saved. Not every Jew. Paul said, not every Jew is a Jew. And he says, I'll remove their sin in one day, and it will be remembered no more. Israel is God's special treasure. Scripture proves it. The church has never called it treasure. You won't find it in the New Testament at all. But the pearl of great price we consider next week. Thank you, James.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Now, we have run a little bit over time, so we'll just close with prayer. Our gracious God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it withstands it, or rather it stands examination in detail. We thank you for its consistency. We thank you that it so clearly comes from the mind, whoever the writers. So we thank you for your great goodness to us, your great goodness to man, and your heart of love for your people, be they the church or the Jews. We thank you for your care, your provision, your promises, your covenants, and your guarantees. Accept our thanks for the scriptures. Accept our thanks for the indwelling Holy Spirit that urges our belief in these things. Now we pray that you will go with us each into the coming week. We pray that you will be there with us. We thank you for the supper that has been prepared, and we pray your blessing on all those hands that have contributed. So accept our thanks for this time of fellowship and our time together around your word. Thank you. We ask you to accept that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.